This is one of the Lord's toughest gospels. After delivering that, most of his disciples decided not to go on with him, and we can understand why. It's a very tough thing for him to say. We have to look back at the first reading. That's why I got this back out again here. Moses is, they've had the manna in the desert that Jesus speaks of, is talked about here in Deuteronomy. Moses is talking to the people for the last time, and then they're going to cross into the promised land, and the manna will feed them no more. They will be now working the land, you know, to get their food. And Moses says that for 40 years he tested these people to see if they would follow him, directing all of our journeys in the desert, because this is being spoken, Moses, not just to the people then, but to all the Jews that read it afterward, and to us, because Jesus references this in talking about his own body and blood, he who was Jewish and whose ancestors are here in this reading. And he says, God, in directing your journey in this desert for 40 years, meaning a long time, testing you by affliction to find out if it was your intention to keep his commandments. So he let you be afflicted with hunger and fed you with manna and guiding you through this vast and terrible desert, giving you water from the rock and feeding you with manna. So we have this image of the people of God walking through the world, and we have our trials, and God feeds us periodically. And at times, God took them right to the very edge. And this is a time when Christ takes these people to the edge. They had been following Jesus for some time. You know, he found them. He went across the water to get away, found them over there, and taught them rather than escaping. And then after that, they had no food to eat. So this is when he tests the apostles and says, what do we do? We have no food. And so he multiplies the loaves and fishes. So they're following him to be healed. They've listened to his spellbinding teaching, and they've watched this multiplication of the loaves. So they don't want to leave. They think they're in heaven. So it's at that moment, when everything's going so well, that Jesus gives this hardest teaching that even the disciples didn't understand. You know, sometimes Jesus uses a lot of metaphors. I'm the gate. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the light of the world. You know, I am the living water. When he says, I am the bread that came down from heaven, they are troubled. And rather than correct himself, he repeats it seven times to them. And the Jews, of course, were not supposed to eat flesh of, drink blood from animals. So for him to say, you must drink my blood, it sounded scandalous to them. This was a test. And the Lord tests us in life. Periodically, he will appear to disappear. He will not answer a prayer right away. We may even have an opposite reaction to what we hope for and wonder if God is there. We see Jesus doing this to the disciples quite frequently as God. And so on that level, we are like the people in journeying in the desert for 40 years. This isn't heaven. We're here to be tried. We're here to go through something. We're here to learn. We forget that, you know, that our lives are short and are meant to be used well. Use well the gift that we have. So we're like these disciples, and we've been fed, you know, or, you know, we've had our trials, we've had our joys, we're following Jesus, and then suddenly something comes along that's really difficult. And Jesus, in saying, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no life in you. He says, the living Father sent me, and I have life through the Father. What he's talking about is not the life that we have on earth. I baptized seven babies today. Praise God. How about that? Nobody cried. One or two gave me a dirty look, but I baptized them anyway. And one was a friend from Hillsboro from 20 years ago. The father of the child was 6 years old when I knew him. I said, who are you? You know, anyway. But from the moment of birth or baptism to the moment of death, this is not life, because we're in life, but it's borrowed life. We have to give it back, don't we? None of us wants to give it back. Maybe some people do. They're ready to go, you know. But for the most part, most of us, we hold on to life. We love life, but it's not ours yet. Real life is life that doesn't end. real life is its complete fulfillment as human beings, total happiness in our created existence. We are created beings, but we have, it is not our nature to have eternal life. Only God has eternal life. He gives that to us, and he wishes us to have it, and the Eucharist is the best representation of that. That is eternal life, because that is Christ. And what he's saying here is, he's telling them this at some distance from the cross. This is still John 6, and in the subsequent chapters, Jesus has a lot of teaching yet to do. The disciples have to take on faith what Jesus is talking about. He doesn't explain the Last Supper until about 2 years later, perhaps, from this. I'm not sure quite on the timeline, but some distance in the future. He doesn't say, hey guys, I'm talking about bread and wine. He meant what he said, but they didn't understand. When Jesus died on the cross, he, as a human being who was fully God, took our flesh to the cross and raised our flesh to life eternal. When he took on a human body, he took it on forever. And God in heaven, there are three persons in God. That was last week's solemnity, the Trinity. One of the three is a human being who is God. That's amazing. What that means for us in heaven, we do not know. But what we do know is that Christ came and suffered with us by eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and those who can't receive can receive spiritually. But we are with him on the cross when he dies. And so our flesh rises with him throughout time. He wanted his followers to be with him on the cross, no matter what time or place that we're here. And so this is why we have the Eucharist. He also, we may notice that Jesus is not recognized as God in the Gospels. I think it's so funny. There was a scientist once that stole a Eucharist from Mass. You know, they never take one that's in the bag. They always have to have one that's been consecrated. It's an acknowledgement that there's something special, even if they don't believe in what we do as Catholic Christians. He took it and analyzed it and then put it on all the media and said, look, I can't find anything different from this. And I just laughed because you think about Jesus on the cross. What did they do to Jesus? They said, there's nothing different about him. He's not God. Look, we're going to kill him to show you that he's just a human being. So here we are, 2,000 years later. We have the chance to believe in God without seeing him. And one way that we do this is the Eucharist. There are other ways, such as the way we treat our neighbor. God is in every human being in some fashion, keeping us alive, giving us existence, giving us a life that he's planned in a way for our trials, our benefit, our glory, his glory in heaven. He often waits to get us out of a trial to the very end because it glorifies him and us more by going through something than getting out of it quickly. I don't care for that too much, but that's what God does sometimes. And I tell him so, but then afterward he always proves himself right. And so here in this wonderful gospel, we're challenged in this time of science, is this really my flesh and blood? Well, the people of 2,000 years ago had that same question to answer. And in life itself, when we go through these trials in our 40 years in the desert, however long our lives last, 40 years means a long time. And that's a code word for a long time in the Bible. We, too, are challenged periodically. Do I really believe Jesus? Do I believe in him when it's tough? It's easy when it's easy, we can believe in him more readily. But when things don't go our way, am I still there with Jesus? And that can be kind of tough. We see this in the first reading in Exodus, and we see this in the gospel with John, is Jesus will periodically test us by not being quite as present or giving us a tough teaching like the Eucharist. I find the Eucharist very, very comforting. You know, I've always liked to pray before the Blessed Sacrament, and I think that's what keeps me going as a priest. But there's the risk of following Jesus is he's going to test us, but the glory of it is we're following the Son of God, and he's going to lead us to great things. He knows what he's doing. He's the one that created us and life itself. So we thank God that he gave us his flesh and blood to eat, that he wished us to share real life with him, not the temporary life only that ends in this world, but the one that lives forever. We're already in eternal life when we receive the Lord in our hearts and in the Eucharist. And we pray that we can live as sons and daughters of God who trust Jesus even when it's very difficult.